Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
I honor you. You're good. You're kind. Lord, you're kind even when we're not. You're good when we're not. You're pleasant when we're not. God, when we are not doing what we are supposed to do, even in your correction, you continue to do what you're supposed to do. Thank you for not being like us. Thank you. Thank you. Now, God, tonight, give us ears to hear what the Spirit will say, a receptive heart, and then the strength, God, not to just be hearers, but we want to be doers of your word so that we do not deceive ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 1. And I have continued to read it for context, but we will start at verse 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in... Boy, I love that. In his son, not through, in, which means the voice of the Lord resides in his son. Never mind. So that's gonna register in somebody's mind while you're driving down the street, and you're going to be like, oh, that's why if I abide in him, and if any man be in Christ, because you speak inside. Okay, never mind. Whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is, verse 3, the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We're going to deal with that purification of sins this Sunday, but we need to work with this word of the power. And I told us in the first two phrases, we have come to understand that Jesus is the light and not simply a reflection of the light. He is the facsimile or the essence of the nature of God. We're called out of darkness into this light. And so when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we should daily embody this light. This is all recap. The truth is, he has done too much for us to act like we don't have responsibility. Amen. I really don't understand how people can have all these fits we be having in church and yet and still live like trash. I really don't. I don't understand how we can say, God, you are good and you're wonderful and you're merciful and you're kind, and we can't love our neighbor. Don't even, unwilling to even have conversation with them, right? Or unwilling to forgive when we know our own story. That's the one that seems to get me the most. Like, you know how foul you have been, and yet you find yourself incapable of forgiveness. And for some of us, you know how foul you are, and you're incapable of forgiveness. And so the third phrase is, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And I told us Sunday, it is one thing if we look at the person and work of Jesus as confined to space and time, the written story. But everything, listen to this point, everything Jesus said is still under enforcement. I hope y'all got that in your notes from Sunday. Everything Jesus said, past tense, is still present tense, under enforcement, and let me add, will remain under enforcement forever. Everything he said is still under enforcement and will remain under enforcement forever. The voice of the Lord does not fade. Now, I need you to repeat that sometimes to yourself when you find yourself getting weary and well-doing. If you got a promise, the promise doesn't fade because of how you feel. Amen. So upholding, when it says he upholds all, how many things does he uphold? Okay. Upholding includes creation, but it is bigger than creation. On Sunday, when I was working through it, I was working through how powerful it is that the world can't explain how the world holds together. Like, scientists are like, we have no idea how this works. Even when you think about it, like, in the beginning, when was that? Right? And the last time I checked, there's nothing before beginning. No, just wrap your head. We practice in the presence all the time these days. There's nothing before beginning. But if the Bible says, in the beginning, God, that means he existed before beginning. So he was here before anything else was here. This means that God exists outside of time. He exists outside of space. He is, as some would call him, the all-existing one. This puts God in a category of nothing else. Come on, y'all. No wonder why we get talking about he's the greatest. Because who else can hold the title of, before anything else was, God? Okay. All the trouble in your life has a start. Lord, have mercy. But the thing that can give you perpetual victory has no genesis. Does this make sense? And so his voice doesn't fade. He wants to be involved in our life from start to finish. And this is where we're going to keep working with this word upholds tonight. Because too often we consult God during whatever stage of the journey we feel weak. Too often we consult God during whatever stage of the journey we feel weak. So if we don't know how to start, or you feel like you can't start, then you cry out to God at the start of the thing. And then once it started, you stop talking to God. If you feel like things are falling apart during that messy middle stage, everything's falling apart. Lord, I'm not going to make it through. I don't know how I can make it another day. Then you call God in the middle. And some of us are calling God in the middle of things he didn't start. Come on, let's keep working. So you didn't consult him in the start, but now it's falling apart in the middle. So now you want him to help you in the middle when he never started it. Or then some people call God at the start, then he starts, and then you stop consulting him. Then when it falls apart, then you got to restart. Now you're mad because you feel like you lost time. Then we have people who feel like they can't finish or they're not seeing the promise. And so you cry out then. Like, when is this going to be over? When am I going to see the victory? Now, some of us are trying to see victory for our will. So you have a victory in mind that you wanted from the beginning, and God is like, that's actually not my victory, which means I am not obligated to help you get there. So you want me to help you get to a destination that I never started, that I wasn't around during any parts of it, but now you want me to push you to this glorious end, and I don't even want you to be there. As a matter of fact, victory, for some of us, the victory you're praying for is so antithetical to the will of God that giving you victory in that area would take you away from his will. However, one of the reasons that our cry to God is selective is because we fail to see him as a consistent companion. Instead, he is our helper in trouble, not just our helper. Did y'all hear that? Lord, you're my helper when I get in trouble. You're not just my helper. This happens, and you've heard me allude to it before. This happens when he is only Savior and not Lord. Well, you got, put verse 3 up on the screen, Orlando. This happens when he is only Savior and not lower. There's a difference. Lord, rescue me. Lord, rescue me. Lord, rescue me. Lord, get me out. Lord, get me out. Lord, get me. That's Savior Jesus. Lord Jesus tells you what to do about everything. We don't like that guy. We don't necessarily like Lord Jesus. Because Lord Jesus is like, put the phone down. Put the phone down. Do not reply to that text. You do not get to reply. You will not post that. Do not post that. Delete the whole app. Why did you buy that? Why did you buy that? I didn't tell you to buy that. We don't like that guy, because Lord Jesus sometimes feels restrictive. But the truth is, the Lord restricts the flesh. The beauty of the journey, and I'm getting to this word upholds. The beauty of the journey should be that he is involved in the whole thing. Now, here's my question to you guys who are taking the notes. And I want you to put this in your notes as a point of reflection and meditation for the rest of this week. Have you given God access to the whole thing? Have you given God access to the whole thing, or are you only relying on him to give you your victory response? See, when I say that he wants to be involved in the whole thing, God don't want you to just be blessed. He wants to be with you. And so this begins to give us a better understanding of the word upholds. Again, in verse 3, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Uphold. I gave you the definition Sunday. I'll do it again. To keep or maintain in an unaltered condition. That's first time. Here's time two. To keep or maintain in an unaltered condition. Number three, I'll do it again. To keep or maintain in an unaltered condition. It also means to cause to remain or last. To cause to remain or last. So wait a minute. He upholds. He keeps or maintains me in an unaltered condition. He causes me to remain or last. And all of a sudden, when you start hearing definitions like that, watch this verse. He will keep you in perfect peace. Oh, whose mind is stayed. Oh, so you mean to tell me if he's withholding everything by the word of his power to keep my mind stayed on him, I only have to keep my mind stayed on the word. To keep my mind stayed on Jesus, I have to keep my mind stayed on the word. But many of us don't like the word enough to keep our mind stayed on it. See, we have created a culture where we're in love with church, but we don't really like everything that comes with Jesus. We like church. I've been watching recently a lot where we have a lot of people, and I've been thinking about this, where we celebrate the sermon and don't think about the transformation. He sure did preach. What good is he sure did preach if you're not going to do nothing? You had no intention of transformation, but he pulled it. She killed the house. Preached the paint off the walls. Huh? Preached the paint off the wall. I mean, preached the carpet back. I mean, just got it. But what good is that? And watch this. Think about our applause. We applauding the performance. Never even looking for Jesus. We do it with worship. She sang the horns off a billy goat. One of my favorite. It's when you sing the horns off a billy goat. Boy, she sang, whew, heaven down. She sang heaven down. Lord have mercy. And so, are you dancing because of her runs? Was that shout because of the quality of her voice? Or are you convicted to conversion? Many of the sermons we enjoy, we don't even know what they said. Many of the songs we like, we don't even know the words. Because your brain works in a unique way where you can actually sing along and not ingest. Whew. Sometimes you're singing along and you have no idea that the words are actually counter the scripture. And so when we start talking about the Lord upholding, maybe the reason we're not seeing the upholding is because we have grown to the place where we detest what upholding comes through. And that's the word. But he will, if you let him, uphold everything. I said, if you let him. Let's look at the perspective from another passage, because I need us to begin to really ask ourselves that question. Lord, have I given you access to everything? Or do I only invite you in during the moments where I need a little help? Look at Colossians chapter 1. Is this making sense? Good. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, 13 reads, "For he rescued us from the domain," I love it, "of darkness, and," y'all see "and," circle it, "transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son." Wait. Just leave that verse up. "Called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." We read that a few weeks ago. He rescued. That's actually one important aspect of the word salvation. He rescued us from the domain of darkness. This means that darkness in and of itself has a realm. I'm not trying to sound spooky, but please understand, when Satan was kicked out of heaven, he got kicked out with some other folks. So darkness has a domain. It has hierarchy, right? We see that in Ephesians 6, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but, right? So the domain of darkness has hierarchy, which in turn gives us this issue. When you're disorderly down, oh Lord, when we're disorderly trying to be righteous, ain't no way we're going to be able to fight against an orderly darkness.
Right.
Darkness don't fight against darkness. Darkness has rules. They follow their policies and procedures. Amen. They high-five each other. Amen. Come on now. Anger will high-five depression. Be like, got them a little far. You in next. Huh? Depression like, almost got them. Suicide like, my turn yet? Almost. Hold on. Let me bring a couple other boys in because they're not quite ready for suicide. But we got anger. We got depression. Let's call anger back in for another round. Here come anger. I'll get them again. Huh? Here come fatigue. Let me make them tired. Huh? So fatigue comes in, and we're like, we're wearing them down. Meanwhile, suicide like, my turn yet? Not quite. Still working on them. But we can't get orderly. Partly because, I see your hand, partly because we don't like to submit. We don't like to come under the mission. Go ahead, Sister Pat.
I just thought of the scripture, and I might have it all wrong.
It's all right. Come on with it.
But the scripture that says the house
divided against itself cannot stand.
So, yes, that stands for life, but it also stands for death.
It's a principle. Any house. Okay, and notice that. Watch this. They were accusing Jesus of trying to cast out a devil, himself being a devil. He said, darkness don't work like that. Satan don't cast out Satan. He said, you don't accuse me of being the devil. How in the world are you going to call me a devil when I'm fighting a devil? That's not the way that domain works. But let me push it even further. That's actually not the way the kingdom works either. Therefore, many people that are claiming kingdom authority without following kingdom principles are unable to function because you actually don't exist in that domain either. He rescued me. He rescued me out or from the domain of darkness. And many of us, watch it, we're okay staying at that comma. He rescued me out of the domain of darkness. Woo, thank you. That's enough for some of us to praise God for the rest of our lives. But that's what we like. But he wants to transfer you to the kingdom of his son, not the kingdom of your will, not the kingdom of your desires. So here's the thing. Many of us think that being rescued from the domain of darkness is the end of his work. There's a transfer. Upholding is not just about the rescue. It's about the transfer. Now look at verse 14, same passage. In whom we have redemption. Oh boy. The forgiveness of sins. Stop. Go back to verse 13. He rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Y'all see that? Verse 14. In whom? Wait. In whom? Wait. You mean to tell me that my redemption is in the place I got transferred? And if I reject the transfer, I'm also rejecting the redemption. Yeah. Lord have mercy. There's no redemption in the rescue. The redemption is in the transfer. And if you only want the rescue, but you don't want the transfer, Lord have mercy. You don't get the redemption. Lord have mercy. Because when you are transferred, you're transferred into the kingdom of his beloved son. You can be rescued from the domain of darkness and never accept Jesus. So you can be rescued because he loves you and never accept him because you don't want to. He shows mercy on whom he will show mercy. This is the Bible, right? So you can be headed for a fall and he'd be like, I love you. You still don't have Jesus yet. Which means until you get to Jesus, I don't have redemption and I don't have forgiveness. So just because things didn't go all bad don't mean you all good. Very well could have been grace and mercy right there working. Verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. This is wonderful. For by him, verse 16, all things were created. Both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. 17, he is before all things and in him all things hold together. Everything holds together when you're in him. He rescued, he transferred, and everything holds together in him. You get outside of him, things get to falling apart. But the beauty of the upholding here is it's a start to finish upholding, not just a start. Do not confine God's power to starting. At no time does he cease to function. At no time does he cease to have a plan. And at no time does he cease to participate fully if you let him. Dr. Robert Grimacki, in his exposition of Hebrews, says it like this. He begins by saying, he, talking about Jesus, is the governor. He goes on to say, Christ has the ministry of upholding all things by the word of his power. Yeah, think about what Dr. Grimacki said. He said the ministry of Christ is to withhold it. Uphold, excuse me. The ministry of Christ is to uphold all things. That's his ministry. I got you. He's ministering by holding things together. Right. he goes on to say, he has a providential purpose for the universe. The participle, upholding. Put Hebrews 1:3 back on the screen for me, Orlando. The participle, upholding, implies not only support, upholding, but also direction or movement toward a goal. So when the Lord says, I uphold it, it doesn't just mean I support it. It means I move it toward an expected end. I know the thoughts I have for you. Huh? The end of that verse says, a future and a hope. So Jesus is like, I don't just have the power to make sure you don't fall. I got the power to move you forward. Okay, let's go to that verse. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling, all right, and to present you, huh? Because to make a presentation, I got to get you somewhere. Faultless before the Savior with, Lord have mercy, exceeding joy. So if I got you here, but we about died on the way, how you going to have joy? Now, come on now. So when he upholds you, he not only makes sure you don't fall, but he will get you to your destination unscathed. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? All these testimonies of, you know, I barely made it, but I made it in. God is like, that's not my best. I'm trying to uphold you, but you wouldn't let me. The reason you limped across the finish line is because, watch this, the only part of you that was in my car was the leg that still works. If you would have gave me access to everything, you wouldn't have had to limp. You limping because the part of you that got damaged was outside of me. I felt that. Yeah, I felt great. If you gave me everything, everything would have made it up unscathed. Well, I don't know about that, Bishop. If it don't make it unscathed, he's a liar. Because he upholds all things. Last time I checked, I'm a part of all things. So if you uphold me, I'm putting all of me in you. And I ain't coming out. You coming outside to play? No. I'm not coming outside to play. Would you like to talk a while? Do I have to leave him? Yes. No. We not talking. Anything I got to do that requires me to get out of this secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow, I'm not coming out. See, so many of us want to dip. Come on, stop this double dutch with the Holy Ghost. Going in and out. And you wonder why your life is in shambles. It's because you want to come out, get broken up, come inside, get bandaged up, come out, get broken up, come inside, get bandaged up. He's like, we wouldn't have to go through all of this if you just quit going outside. Were you about to say something to me? The reason we go through the circle because we won't stay inside. Just keep going through. He like, you're the one keep going outside. You're the one. Okay, watch this. I said he has providential purpose. Providential purpose. This is about God saying, I'm going to get what I want regardless. So some would say, there's an argument to my scholars in the room. Wait a minute. If he's providential, if he go get what he wants regardless, that then means that we don't have free will. Mm-mm. No. Your free will is within the boundaries of his providence. Furthermore, he said it like this. He said it like this to Paul. You the one kicking against the pricks. Y'all missed it. The prick we kick against is the providence. Every time you trying to get outside of him, you kicking against the pricks. And he said, the reason that you're blind, because you keep kicking against my providence. If you just stayed in my will, we wouldn't have this problem. So that participle upholding implies not only support, but also direction toward a goal. Christ created the universe. Then he sustains the universe. In addition, he's going to get the universe to an expected end. Does this make sense? I'll give it to you another way, the way Grimacki says it. He will bring things and purpose and persons to their proper end. He gonna get you there. He gonna get you there. But what happens is you don't like the journey, you don't like the scenery. You wanna do it another way. I don't like the way God's doing this. Huh? That wasn't on my bingo card. Why I gotta go like this? Lord's like, because I said so. Huh? I'm sure Abraham could have said, now, Lord, I just got here. Why are you telling me to leave my country and kindred and go to another place? We just got to this place. He said, go to the place I will tell you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I bless those who, but I don't want to go. All right, then you don't want to have a great name. There are times where we have to be honest. Our rebellion is based upon the fact that we don't like his will. And for some of us, it's not even that you don't know better. It's just you've gotten so used to grace that you think that you can actually rebel and it'll be fine. Some of us have become so accustomed to grace and mercy that you actually see no issue with sin. Because you feel like you can recover from the temporary emotion of knowing that you disappointed God. The reality is that we need to come face to face with this truth. Mm-hmm. Even though you might not feel it physically, here's the thing. What door got closed because I did not obey? Some of you don't know you're paying for your sin because you never even saw the door that would have opened. What door did I lose access to because of the sin? Huh? And then you find yourself justifying the journey because you're already comfortable with how you got there. So he's not just creator. Oh, it done got quiet now. He's not just creator. He's also sustainer and he's finisher. Ooh, this is good news. Come on, that's gospel. I keep wanting to introduce y'all to the gospel every time I get a chance. He's not just the creator, he's the sustainer. And he's the finisher. Ooh, I wish somebody would apply that to your life. Lord, you don't just start it, you sustain it. And then you don't just sustain it, you finish it. But Lord, could you finish it another way? Could you sustain me another way? He's like, no, that's not the way this works. Huh? That's not the way this works. Even when you have access to another way, the other way is going to mess up the will. Jesus could have called a legion of angels to Golgotha, which in turn, even though he had access to the angels, it would have messed up the will. Huh? So just because you can don't mean you should. He upholds all things if you let him. It is his participation that we should have faith in. That's good. Hear me what I'm saying. It is his participation that I need to have faith in. I need you to have faith in him, not your skills or even lack of skills, not your success, not your money, none of that. See, if he's with me the whole time, I never have to believe in myself. Whew. Carlos heard it. If you with me the whole time, I never have to pump myself up. My peace is not in my greatness. It's in his. Right. Yeah. What about, you know, your worth and your esteem and all of those type of things? Please, let's be careful of allowing those constructs to overshadow the scripture. I can do all things through Christ. See, it is easy for us to allow the construct of esteem to supersede the scripture. Therefore, we're looking to have high self-worth, but no Jesus. So you love yourself, but you don't have God, which then means that you're comfortable with yourself without him. So my faith is in Jesus, not me. What kind of credit, what kind of you know, degrees, what kind of 401ks, what kind of job security, don't make me no difference. My faith is in Jesus. Amen. Okay, cryptocurrency was up so high that random people were multimillionaires, some of them billionaires. They were just dumb money. One day, cryptocurrency lost money, and all of them went broke, like instantaneously. I remember I was reading something happened in the market, and they said, Bezos lost $200 million. Jesus. He lost $200 million in like a matter of minutes. Jesus. If I drop a dollar, I need to find that. See y'all looking at me real funny like, it don't matter. Okay, I tell you what, drop a quarter between the seats. I just drop a quarter between the seats of your car. Soon as you get stationary, you're going to be all down in there trying to get, like, digging your hand in there, contorting your pinky fingers, trying to get your quarter. Bezos lost $200 million. This is why your hope can't be in stuff. Come on now. I told y'all these songs keep coming back. My hope is built on nothing less. And I know folk hate these songs. They coming back. I love them. Jesus' blood and righteousness, I dare not trust. Sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ. See, that's good stuff. That's good theology right there. We leaning on everything else. And this is why we go looking for people instead of clinging to Jesus. He'll uphold you if you let him. He will make it good, listen, from start to finish. I said he'll make it good from start to finish. Furthermore, let's take it a step further. He doesn't uphold you just by what we would consider his tangible presence. Now, I need us to slow here. I got some more minutes. I'm taking them too. Sometimes, especially in our more charismatic presentation of the Word of God, you'll hear the worship leader or the preacher, oh, he's here. The presence of God is here. And they'll normally say that when the music gun hit that one key, huh? And they're trying to make everybody real goosebumpy. And lift your hands. Lift your hands, he's here. Huh? And now, in 2024, we think that everybody who really walks with God got to sound, you know, got to have an accent. Lift your hands. He's here. You got to have an accent to really validate that you walk with him. You got to find an accent. Everybody got to sound like Molly Music to really have him. To really have him. Lift your hands. And so here's the thing. We've become programmed to believe that that's the presence. But again, what does the scripture say? He upholds all things by the... Come on. By the word of his power. So you mean to tell me that without music, without lifting my hands, that you withhold me by your word? What's even more powerful is, as I believe the word, I'm upheld by every word that has been spoken. Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples, said something really crazy like this. You're already clean because of the word that I already spoke. I'm sure everybody was looking around like, wait a minute. He said, you're already clean because of what I already said. See, the issue is we just got to believe it. We're looking for all of this, you know, like you need a prophet to come and tell you all this stuff. When the truth is, just believe the scriptures. Believe the word you already have. Why you need a new word? You ain't even living in the old word yet. You're not even living in the old word yet. Right. You want all these new seasons and new days and all this fresh anointings to come your ways. The seasons of power and prosperity. But you won't make a budget. You refuse to be accountable. Oh, y'all don't like this type of talk. Refuse to be accountable. And so some of us are not functioning in the... Why are you trying to repot a plant that hasn't outgrown its current pot? It's not root bound. You don't have no problem. You got one little stem, huh? And like a 50-inch pot. You got one little stalk sticking up. You be like, I think I need to repot it. Think it need more space. Huh? Strengthen your stakes. Lengthen your cords. No. The truth is, the condition of your current plant is indicative of the condition of your current life. It would have outgrown the pot had you been feeding it properly. You still got plenty of space, not because the Lord doesn't have more. You still have plenty of space because you haven't grown. And so you're trying to buy the next size when the current size is still too loose on you. Okay. Wow, that's faith. No, it's delusion. It's delusion. He upholds by his word. So his word creates, his word sustains, his word finishes. His word creates, his word sustains, his word finishes. His word creates, his word sustains, his word finishes. So of course when I get to reading stuff like his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, well, that makes a little bit more sense now because Jesus is the divine logos and Jesus is the light. So of course when I have Jesus, I got light. Therefore, I get permission, power, and provision for the whole journey when I have Jesus. When Jesus is lighting my path, he is the one that's giving me permission, power, and provision for the journey. If you don't tell me yes, I'm not going nowhere. I'm a grown man. Yep, I'm not going nowhere. Don't let that groan get you in trouble. Don't let that get you in trouble. You got to say, Lord, do I have permission? Lord, do I have permission? He said, well, you have volition, but you don't have permission. Lord, can I? Well, that depends on if you're asking me, do I want you to? So when I'm talking about permission, I'm talking about doing what he wants. Now, when you do that, then you get power and provision. What does the Bible say? The blessings of the Lord make and add what? No sorrow. And he wants to do that for the entire journey, not just the start, not just the middle, not just the end. That also means that you're walking in the light. Think about that for a minute. When I'm walking by the word, I'm walking in the light. It's not spooky. When you're walking by the word, you're walking in the light. Okay. And if you're walking in the light, you can see. It's a concept, right? So you got someone who you're having trouble with. What does the word say? Because if I apply the word to the situation, I just shine light on the situation. And now I can see. But what we do is we get into a situation and we allow emotions to talk before we consult the word for direction. And so now emotion has now caused you to get into another situation where instead of you getting light, now you got to repent. because your emotion said some stuff that light would have never said. You feel justified because you were triggered by what came from the other party. But justification is not righteous behavior. Just because you feel like, well, I understand why you did that. I understand too, it's still wrong. It can make all the sense in the world. It don't make right. So you want to be upheld, but you also want your will. You can't have both. If you want to be upheld by his word, you got to walk by the word that's upholding you. That's like saying, I don't want to drive my car over the bridge, but I don't want to drive on the bridge. Which one do you want? Think about that. There's a bridge that goes into New Orleans. You say, I don't want to go on that bridge. You don't want to go over there then. What you going to do? Drive your car in the water? You going to take a boat? That's how you get over there. I don't want to go over. I don't want to go over the bridge. You don't want to go over there. Smoothie Center's over there. You want to go to the game? Got to cross a bridge. There's water in between you and there. Huh? I got free tickets to the game. Don't want to cross the bridge. Guess you can't receive what's yours. Courtside. But I don't want to cross the bridge. It's yours. It's free. Can't get it. See, so there are things paid for on the other side of the word. But you don't want to do it that way. So you want the stuff that's paid for, but you don't want to cross the bridge. I don't want, is there a way around? No. No. And I'm not, you know, small bridges don't bother me, but some of them mammoth bridges. Some of them mammoth bridges. I mean, you know, just when you get a chance, look up like longest bridges in the world. You're going to get that one in New Orleans. Don't you worry. It's going to come up. My wife and I, we went and we were going to Virginia. Looking at the GPS, Lord have mercy. And I'm looking at the GPS and I get to looking. Y'all know how GPS do, where all of a sudden you see a road and you notice that it's blue around it. And I said, wait, seems like there's about to be a problem. There's lots of blue. And my wife's like, oh, babe, it's not so bad. But certain bridges that are very long cause me deep concern. Now, if it's long and I can see the shore, but that bridge in New Orleans, saints of God, you get to a place where everywhere you look, you can no longer see land. Which means that I began to justify that if there is a problem, I can't swim nowhere because I can't see the land from here. Lord have mercy. I start thinking about self-preservation. Okay, I want to run down this aisle. I start thinking about self-preservation. Because, here it is, I don't know if I can trust the way. So I need to see if I got a contingency plan if something happens along the way. Oh, Lord have mercy. We do that to Jesus. He's the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, but that's the only way. But we're making contingency plans. Because we haven't learned to depend on Jesus. I don't know why the lyrics just keep coming. I've learned to depend on Jesus. I've learned to depend. Oh, y'all, excuse me. They just keep jumping in there, right? But some of us ain't learned. But so we're on the way to Virginia. I'm seeing all this blue. Oh, God. And so I'm readying myself for a bridge. But this is not a bridge. This is a tunnel. I said, Lord have mercy. It was our anniversary and we didn't pay for this hotel. I got to get over there. I'm looking at the GPS and I'm like, this tunnel ain't short neither. Lord, I'm about to drive under the water. Lord, I'm about to be under the water. and I have no contingency plans. How deep under the water am I? What happens if the pressure come down on me? Lord, have mercy. What if it's a wreck under here and I got to stay down here for a while? Jesus, my Savior. And so all of a sudden, I went from very relaxed to 10 and 2. Y'all know how it is when stuff gets serious. You got to turn the radio off. Nobody gets to talk. And my wife, baby, okay? Fine. And the Lord, here's the question that we need to ask. The Lord is like, if you're so stressed out on the way, do you really trust me? That's not perfect peace. Huh? You're telling everybody, I'm on the way, but you don't have peace, which means your life don't testify. And nobody wants to get on the way that you don't even like being on. If I have nothing good to say about the way, why would I follow you? If all you do is complain, huh? Following Jesus is hard. Following Jesus is rough. Sometimes I want to do this, but because of Jesus, oh, I can't do nothing I want to do. I got 20 things I want to do, but I can't do none of them because I'm following Jesus. I'm trying to do everything, but oh, everything is hard because I'm following Jesus. And the sinners is like, I'm not following that guy. Because clearly you are freaked out following that way. When the scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, that should make more sense. But some of your life don't prove it. So maybe you don't have the Spirit. So this journey, 8 minutes, this journey of upholding requires us to yield to the Spirit, y'all. You just gotta relax. Somebody smarter than me made this bridge. Relax. Now think about that for a second. If you got people relaxing in natural things, what more you think? Okay, I keep going to all these natural. So we were in Buffalo, my wife, we went to go see the Niagara Falls. And when you really, really, really think about it, this don't make sense. Because there's a little portion of Niagara Falls, and that we didn't do it. Because thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. So there are two areas, well, there are three to be exact. One of them is they got this little new thing that they built, because I hadn't been there since I was a little boy. They got this new thing that they built where you walk up and she was going to do this. But when they told her that it costed a bunch of money and the line was really long, she decided we wasn't going to do it because we would have been in line for days. But they got this thing where somebody decided to take just random pieces of metal and just jut them out over top the falls. And you just out there like cantilever. You just walk out there. And people was just leaning over the side. I was like, this is problem number one. She might have been able to twist my hand into this one. Problem number two, it's another little area of the falls, and it's going over, and someone has built an area where you can go stand under the fall. There's millions of gallons of water coming across a rock, and these people was in there like, yeah, no, no, take one pebble coming down that joker, knock all your teeth out. No, we're not doing this. And then the third problem that I have is these individuals who decide to get out on this boat. It's the maid in the mist. No, I can't see you. You go underneath the falls. I'm not doing none of that neither. Now, again, my wife is saying, babe, it has to be safe because everybody else is doing it. Has to be safe. Has to be safe. Now, think about this. So we have millions and millions of people who getting on this maid of the mist, who going out on this little piece of metal, and who are standing under a waterfall. And then you tell them to believe Jesus, and that's irrational.
Yeah.
You just went out in a little boat underneath a waterfall, and I'm telling you to trust Jesus who made the fall, and you're like, doesn't make sense. That's how we think. That's how we think. We got more trust in silly stuff than we do in God. So you got to yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. Go to Romans 8, 26. I'll read it, I'm through. Y'all learn anything? And I want y'all to think over all of the questions I've given you to think about. Think about all the silly stuff you got trust in. Like, how in the world did I trust that but not trust God? How in the world did I trust him but not trust God? How in the world did I trust her but not trust God? Never mind. In the same way that the Spirit also helps our weakness, we do not know how to pray as we should. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God calls us. That's all right. God calls us. I told you he's going to work the whole thing out. God calls us all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Again, God calls us. He's going to make it happen. He's going to uphold. That's upholding right there. I'm going to call things to work. That's not just I'm holding you, I'm moving you to an expected end. I'm causing things to work together. Don't even worry about it. I got you. It's gonna work out. I'm gonna cause it. See, here's the thing. When I was studying and preparing for this, one writer said it like this: do not confuse God's providence with luck. Do not confuse God's providence with chance. See, luck and chance is like, maybe. God's like, no, that's not the way I work. I'm causing. You just stay with me. It's going to be just fine because I'm going to make sure of it. Not stay with me and it might work out. You stay with me, it's going to be fine. But God, this is going on, and 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 this is crazy, and that's crazy. He's like, no. I uphold all things by the word of my power. I'm going to cause it to work out. I got it. I got it. Trust me. And some of us, you got to understand, like, why am I going through this, and why is this happening to me? Please understand. God builds us for the plan he has for us. I say it again. God builds us for the plan he has for us. That means everybody ain't built with the same level of storm-rated windows. God knows if the plan he has for you is going to put you in a flood zone, so you're built different. God knows if the plan that he has for you is going to put you in the midst of spiritual hurricanes, so you're built different. He knows that about you. Amen. Have you ever seen hurricane-rated windows? They different. They don't put hurricane-rated windows in houses in Dayton, Ohio, because we don't have hurricanes. Hurricane-rated windows go in hurricane zones. So some of us right now are trying to figure out, why did I have to go through that? And why did my life have to go this way? Because he builds you for the call he has on you. He had to make sure that you were equipped with certain things for the thing that he's going to send you to. So you had to go through that. It took a little bit longer for you because your call cannot, builder's grade materials can't handle this. You ain't going to just be able to put stuff from Lowe's. So the reason it took longer for you is because what he needed to put in your life don't come quick. You understand? See, so many of us want things like everybody else, but you're not everybody else. But he's going to cause it to work together. I was talking. I'm gonna finish. Just put the slide up. I'm gonna finish. Listen to this. Listen to what I'm gonna say. I'm gonna say it like this. Just be done with this. Put the welcome up. Let me say this. I'm done. There you go. Jesus greater. Thank you, Orlando. Listen to this. Listen to this. Some of us have no equivalent in the body. It cannot make you arrogant. That's just how bodies work. Excuse me? Okay. My index finger got another one. Did y'all hear what I just said? So if this one is swollen, I compare it to this one and go, yep, that's a little bigger than the other. But then there's other parts of the body I don't have to. The gallbladder only has one thing. Don't confuse your uniqueness with a call to separate from the body. There's only one gallbladder within you, but it don't function outside the body. So don't think that because you have no equivalent that you're called to disconnect from the body. That's arrogance. Your lack of equivalency does not mean that you're not welcomed in the body. Lord have mercy. As a matter of fact, it means that the body needs you even the more because it don't have a backup copy. There are some things, y'all, where you got to say, okay, God, apparently I've been looking around the body and I can't find another one. Okay, God, that means I better keep myself together because there ain't no backup copies. Thank you for trusting me. That's not arrogance. Thank you for giving me this divine responsibility. No arrogance. Be humble in that. And then do your job well. Stop trying to disconnect because you're like, nobody thinks like me. That's because you only have one of those. Amen. No other part of your body does what a nose does. Not another part. You cut that nose off, Lord have mercy. You just stopped smelling, huh? You just gave up all the smelling. Gave up all the smelling because I don't want to. I don't want to be a part of the body. I don't want to. And that's how we get. If he's going to uphold you, you got to say, okay, God, all right. Forgive me for feeling like I was alone when you were really telling me I was unique. Wow. Forgive me for complaining about being the only instead of leaning on you so that I could do my singular job. Wow. If you're going to uphold me, I don't want to let the body down. Because what we need 50 noses for. I mean, what would your face look like if it had four foreheads? You got one forehead. It's just it. You got one forehead. That's it. God tells you that's your part, just be proud. Forehead. Just one of those. But what we do is we disconnect. Or you go find the forehead of another body. And now you begin to contaminate the body of Christ. Woo, that is good to me because you went and you tried to find an equivalent in another body. He wants to uphold, he wants to bring us through, but you gotta let him. And to let him stop complaining about what it's gonna take for things to work together. Your stuff might not look like nobody else's stuff. Don't you be up there complaining to God. Why I had to go this way? Because if I would have sent you the other way, you wouldn't have trusted me. You had to go this way because, first of all, you're hard-headed. Second of all, you're stubborn. Thirdly, you ain't never listened. Huh? So I had to take you the hard way, because if I would have took you the easy way, you would have still been at the pit stop eating ice cream, missing the whole plan of God. Since you don't have no self-control, I put you on the road with no ice cream shops. I'm going to pray. Y'all learn something? Somebody going to hit that like, why am I on the road where it seems so hard? Because you have no self-control. So we had to take away the road with the ice cream shops. Y'all going to get that later. Father, I thank you. I honor you. You're good. Help us, God, to lean on you, depend on you, and trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement. Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.